Welcome to Letters to Women, a podcast where we explore and embrace the feminine genius, this unique way of being, acting, and loving as women, and what that looks like practically in our own ordinary daily lives. Here, you'll find conversations with women in a variety of seasons of life and hear about how they are living out their own unique feminine genius. And these aren't conversations that lay out the one perfect way to be a Catholic woman, leaving you feeling out of place. Instead, these are conversations that are meant to encourage you to discover more about who the Lord has created you to be, and how you're called to live out that feminine genius too. My name's Chloe Linger, and this is the 7th episode in the Letters to Mothers series. This season, we're exploring what it means to be a mother on a physical, spiritual, and emotional level. In this episode, we're talking about liturgical living and creating traditions within our homes. Is it possible to enter into the rhythms of the church without getting totally overwhelmed? And how do you decide which feast days to celebrate? How to create traditions in your own domestic church? Maybe you've taken some quick glances through blogs and Pinterest only to be left feeling discouraged or comparing your liturgical living to everyone else out there who seems to have it totally together. But it's possible to discover the joy of the liturgical seasons of the church and be drawn closer to God in the middle of our daily lives as women and as mothers. So if you're looking for imaginative, effortless, and simple ways to live the church seasons, this episode is for you. Today, I'm welcoming Erica Ty Campbell to the show. Erica is the owner and artist behind Be a Heart, a popular Christian modern lifestyle brand. She offers an original collection of textiles, accessories, party goods, fine art prints, and award-winning calligraphy that models hope and light in the midst of personal and social darkness. The beauty of diversity inspires her artwork. Erica earned a bachelor's degree in sociology from DePaul University, and she also served as a missionary in Brazil. She's the author of Written by Hand and designed stationery for high-profile events in Los Angeles for many years, and now she lives with her family in Phoenix. Erica, welcome to the podcast. It's so good to sit down with you today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So today we're going to be talking about your new book, Living the Seasons, what living liturgically can look like in different seasons of life, and how to stop comparing the way that we enter into the rhythm of the church calendar to all of the other women that we see on Instagram. But before we dive in, Erica, can you tell me a little bit about your story as a Catholic woman?
Yeah, a little. I have to prepare myself to be brief in these conversations because I could just go on and on and on. But I was raised Catholic in a Catholic Irish family. And I think like many homes, you know, we went to church, went to religious education. I did not go to Catholic school like many of my cousins, but really came into my faith in high school through my youth group. In college, had to kind of refigure everything out, tried my own ways and to more or less failure. And then when I moved to Brazil right after college, and that changed my life in many ways in understanding God's people and how God loves and what love really looks like. In coming back to the U.S. as a young person and really, really having to figure out who God was and who God was in my life, and kind of unlearn some things that maybe I had learned incorrectly as high schooler. And then in so my faith and my spiritual life really expanded in that. And then a big part of my story is that I got sober when I was 24, and encountering God in the experience of becoming sober, of getting sober, changed everything for me. And at that time, part of my story is like, I turned to calligraphy as a way to cope with the anxieties that I was experiencing. It became a meditative experience and ultimately led to Be a Heart that, like, at the time looked very different than it does now. There is an exploration. And I think for me, as a Catholic woman, I'm not and never claim to be someone who is, you know, I don't know all of the theology, and I don't really care to know all of the theology, but I do have the experience of what lived faith looks like and how it helps me in my day to day. And I hope through the community that has been created through Be a Heart, most of all is a place of exploration and of constantly learning and allowing God to be God in his vastness beyond what we could fathom. The church has helped me understand him in certain ways and kind of expand into that. And I think has been my guide through all of the explorations of that.
I have loved watching Be a Heart grow and change as you and your life have grown and changed, and seeing it as a company and as a community just grow and shift as you have learned more about the Lord, I imagine, and how your interior life has deepened and changed. And so it's just been really lovely. And then now to see this new book they're about to chat about, just to see that so reflected in your personal experience and your journey to intimacy with the Lord. It's been really beautiful.
Yeah, I think like going back to the like beginning days, you were there on Instagram when there weren't that many of us really, yeah. I would say in like the Catholic women circle, and it has expanded greatly and it has shifted and there are different factions and there, just as the church is, yes. You know, like yes. It's very different. But we, you know, it was like, we were there in the beginning and we were all very young.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're still young.
Yes.
But
yes.
Like we were very, very young, you know?
So much younger. Yeah. Back in the day. Yes. Yeah. It has, the landscape yeah. of being a Catholic woman with an online presence has just changed radically in the past, you know, 7 to 10 years. It just looks totally different than it did.
Yeah.
When I saw that you were publishing a book or writing a book, this brand new book, Living the Season, Simple Ways to Celebrate the Beauty of Your Faith Throughout the Year with Ave Maria Press, I was so excited because I love reading your weekly emails, your weekly heart-to-hearts. And so when I saw that you were writing a book on this topic, I was so excited because you do such a lovely job of making liturgical living simple and easy to enter into. So I would love to hear the origin story of this book, as well as what a reader is going to find when they open this beautiful cover.
I mean, okay, so it really goes back to when I was living in Los Angeles. I was a calligrapher. I was working in events in, you know, for celebrities, and I was seeing the beauty and the intentionality that was behind all of these things. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have so many things to celebrate in the church. So my first idea was right about the time I was getting married. I was like, I should make party goods that have to do with the feast days. Like there's nothing like that on the market. All of these really cool party good brands were popping up for kids' parties and things like that. And I was like, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing for Easter. That was the big one. I was like, the only things you can find for Easter are like bunnies. But so what does that look like if we're really living this? So that was the first trial. And then I remember from there, so that was like March. And then the next big feast day that I was interested in was Fatima. And so I made these Fatima or these Marian themed party goods. And they did even better than the Easter ones. And then I made a guide to go with it of like how you could celebrate. Like, okay, let's think beyond even kids' crafts, or like, how can we, there's so much online. There's so much on Pinterest and blogs. And I had seen, you know, I was living in LA, so there were a lot of the large families, and some like Kendra Tierney is there. So I knew Kendra and I was watching her, and you know, she had a lot of kids. I had just gotten married, so I had no children. Family life was very like foreign in terms of how you live your faith or like what you're doing. And I knew I was never going to be like a homeschool mom because that's just not my personality. But I was like, I really don't think liturgical living is only for kids and families. Like we are given this amazing thing, and so many of us, we just don't know about it. And you know, growing up, my family lived Advent and we lived Lent and Easter. You know, I don't know when I finally learned that Easter wasn't just one day, you know, I had no concept of that. And it was that like my parents also had only lived that. And so I was, just kind of exploring, like, what does that look like and how do we elevate it?
Yes.
Like, how do we not have it just be like paper crafts or just coloring sheets or whatever it is? What could we take and kind of make it come alive? And so then, I actually haven't like fully thought back, but around this time I went to a baby store. I'd gotten pregnant and went to a baby store and I saw a book, and it was these gorgeous kids' birthday parties. And I flipped through the book and the pictures were beautiful and it was so thoughtful. And I was like, well, it'd be really cool to think through what are parties. That was like my original idea. What are parties that we could have? So then out of that came this guide for All Saints Day, which went really crazy that year. It was 2019. So like before COVID, but also was like the last time that we were all having big parties. So the landscape has just changed so much in that too, in the last 4 years, but it went kind of crazy. And it was just like, how do you make things that aren't kitschy or like so kitty that they're not pretty? And because they're like, this idea in the church, I think so often is like, well, it's for kids. And so it's like the cartoons are a certain way. So I was like trying to figure out how to do that. And I really was a great artist. Like, I was not a great illustrator. I was really in like hand lettering. That was my thing. And so I was kind of really, my business has been along the journey of my creative life growth. And so anyway, then that next year is COVID. No one's having parties. No one's like doing these things, but you have to think about what can you do in your own home? How can you live this? And so that year with my spiritual director, we made the Holy Week at home. And that also went crazy. And it was like, okay, how do we live in our homes? How do we, it is beyond even what community life is like. It take away our churches, take away our friends, but we still have our family or your roommates or like whoever is your circle. So this is kind of where this all originated from. And then I hired my friend Augusta to do social media. And she kind of ran with this, like these simple ways to celebrate different feast days. And people were really into it. Like we were just like, oh, there's this need for this. And I will say, just as it changed, like Instagram has changed, now everyone is sharing these ideas, right? But like right at the beginning, no one really was beyond Kendra. And Kendra is great. I mean, she's amazing and she has so many amazing resources, but the thing that's hard for me is that she has like the history of every single thing. Well, for me, I have ADHD. I have a lot going on. I don't read books that like that have that much information because it like doesn't compute in my brain. So how do you take it? How do you kind of extract and make it manageable for someone who's not homeschooling, who has a job, who, we're like spread so thin. And so when Abe approached me about a book, I was like, well, the only book I'm really interested in doing is like a really beautiful coffee table book with lots of pictures. And I wanted to do more like a party thing because I'm like much more into parties. I don't think they could see the end picture of what I was in my brain, but I took them along for the ride. We had some content already written from our Instagram posts, but then we had about 3 months to expand on it. I like doing crafts. I like doing things with my hands. And I was thinking as we're doing this, I was like, I don't want it to be a book for moms because there's actually a lot of resources for moms of like their kids. But when I was 23, 24, 25, which is how I learned calligraphy, I was getting like craft books. I actually had time before I was having kids. The season, the way that the church calendar is set up is so useful for every age, like has nothing to do with kids. It actually is about how to lean into the cycles of our lives, the cycles of the earth, the cycles of the seasons. And so how could we make a resource that was like for all of us, you know, and for different people, like some people do not, they're like, that craft looks way too difficult. I'm not going to touch it. But then there's some journal questions. And the whole point of these feast days is not to look at like a saint and think like, oh, wow, great for them. But it's really about, what does it mean for me in my life? What can I learn from their story? What is God teaching me through their story? Less about their actual story, and then kind of make it fun. And this year, I was noticing in Advent, like as we're leading up to Christmas, the conversation in the world around us is like, everyone's getting ready for Christmas so early. They're putting their decorations up so much earlier. And so I was thinking about like, well, why is that? And I think it's that the world outside is hard. It's been hard for the last 5 years. We're all looking for something to like lean into, to bring us joy, to change the mundane. And you look at our church and it's like, well, we actually have so many awesome things. Like it can be a regular Wednesday and it's a Marian feast day. So you do one tiny thing in your home that feels special. And then you don't really fall into it getting boring. So the book came out of this, and I am not in any way like an expert on liturgical living, on feasts, on saints. We did a lot of research, and a lot of it was like, all right, here's the story. Let me like use my creative brain to come up with something that would be really fun, that would be relevant, that would transport you to something else. Or like, how do you think of God? Or what is the thing that we can make to hang in our home that makes us think of God, or the saint that like is a moment in the day that you're passing it by and you think of something outside of like, I'm doing the laundry again. So it's kind of a long story. Augusta helped me. She helped me write it, and you know, she had a lot of great ideas. And then he was like, how do we take what we're seeing in other realms and make it relevant to our faith? We don't have to be stuck in it. And so what I really wanted to create was something that was so beautiful that you wanted to keep out on your coffee table. And it wasn't like another task, another to-do. It wasn't like a keeping up with the Joneses that you have to live every single, there's too much in the book to do for, you know, for 1 year. But that it's like, I have like some time tonight. Let me flip through this. Let me see whose saint it is. What season are we in? And how can I be inspired? You know? So they're birthed living the seasons.
Ah, well done. What a beautiful labor and delivery for the birth, though. Holy smokes. Like, just to see the context of what the world around you is like, and then how this came to be. But that's like, you've nailed it. It's exactly what it's used in our home. Like, I picked it up during Holy Week, right? There's so many beautiful things to do during Holy Week, but it was very easy to get overwhelmed and think like, oh, this has to be like the most intense liturgical living season ever. But instead this year with your book, it was, it's Wednesday. Like, let's open this up. And there was something I could do that afternoon for myself and with my family and in the evening. I didn't have to prep for 2 hours in advance. I just picked it up and went. And so you did it. And that's such a gift for so many women in different seasons. Like, I know single women who are using this book, and married women and mothers. And it's just so, like, it isn't just for one certain season. Yeah. It's just so lovely. Well done.
Thank you.
I love how you said there's too much to do. There's too much in this book to do in 1 year. For the woman who is, or for anyone who's opening this book and saying, ah, there's so many lovely feast days. I want to do it all. Like, where should we dive in? What advice would you give?
Yeah, I think so much of it is like, what speaks to you? You know, there are the seasons that we all celebrate. We know, like Advent. You don't have to do all the things for Advent. You can choose, you know, a couple of them. There are so many saint days and feast days. And so I think part of it is really trying to find in this moment of your life, who is speaking to you, what saint is speaking to you, and learning about them and kind of inviting them into your life, I think is part of it. Like, I think that's the beauty of how saints work, where like if a certain saint keeps coming to you, or the beginning of the year, if you pick a family saint and you say like, okay, we're going to celebrate that. Or if you have kids or your own yourself who you're named after, like, is there a saint that, you know, would be special for that, or your anniversary, or the day that you met your husband, like all of these different things. And then being intentional about those and choosing, like, you don't have to know every single saint. You don't have, they're not all. And then next year you can choose different ones. Or like, for me, I love Mary. So I'm probably going to celebrate every Marian feast day that's possible because I love it. And they don't all even have to be different. Like, you can do the same thing. But what I've noticed even in my kid's life, my 4-year-old the other day, she's like, well, Mom, what kind of birthday party do you want to have? Because birthday parties are like the thing for kids. Like, I mean, it's incredible how much you have to talk about birthdays and birthday parties.
Yes, months leading up to it.
Yeah. And then it's like, and then it just starts over. But you also talk about whose birthday is next, what you're doing. So she's like, well, you love Mary, so I think a Mary party. And so I was thinking, like, how does she know? Because I don't pray the rosary. Like, I'm not, you know, in this season of my life, that is not happening. And I was like, probably because, like, we celebrate when it's Mary's birthday, and we, with the Annunciation, like, we made little, I even pulled out the book. I'm like, okay, what ideas do I have? What are these?
Yes.
And they're just little moments, and kids pick up on those things and they become familiar. And then it becomes like a normal thing, and it's not like a scary or boring thing. It just is part of your life. So anyway, I think it's mostly just like picking who speaks to you. Like, I don't believe in having to do things that feel like a chore or like an added task that is stressful. You know, we don't need, as moms, we don't need that.
It's just little simple things too that make such a big difference. I love your daughter picking up on the Marian parties. It's like, I love buying flowers. I love flowers in our home. And then when I tie it to a feast day, like, I really want to buy flowers this week, but this week it's all these feast days. So look at all the flowers we're going to buy. And then just being so intentional about the way that's talked about in our home with little kids. My oldest is about to turn 5. In 12 days, she will tell you about all the details. And yeah. Then there'll be 365 days till she turns 6. Anyway.
And then she's going to be 7.
And then and then how old will everyone else be when I am 8? Like, okay. Yes. Daily conversation topic. So solidarity. Yeah. But just being able to say like, oh, it's St. Therese's feast day and we love Therese and we're going to buy roses this week at Trader Joe's because we love roses and this is, she's called the little flower and all these things. And then we're going to put roses on and that's it. Like, that's how we celebrate Therese in October. We just bought some flowers and it's just so simple. Like, I was going to buy those flowers anyway. And just every time I go to Trader Joe's, I do anyway. And so to just be able to say, no, this is living liturgically. This is just a sense and awareness. And I think for those starting out, just that encouragement that like it, like the more you do this in the little ways, like the more natural and like the more culture of your home and your family it becomes and like the traditions and seeing what sticks in your brain and your kids' brains and like just being able to see those memories and those things that just continue to build. Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's so much like same reason as like people are decorating so early for Christmas, the same reason that our kids talk about birthdays so much, because the birthday is like this special day. And so then if you can build in other special days, you know, it's a way for them to be excited. Like we're all looking for those little moments. And also, you know, we also know like in Lent, it's not particularly like an excitement, but what happens when you start taking away things in your home, yes. You start putting away some decorations, you start paring down, you don't buy flowers during Lent.
Yep.
And then at Easter, you have this big explosion of flowers or like all the things come back. And it's the, like, you know, for a child, that's much easier to understand than like talking, you know, this year with a 4-year-old, which I, you know, as much as I do this work, was like kind of unprepared for the experience of her noticing Jesus on the cross. And how do we talk about this? And what does this look like? And what does it mean for our lives? And being able to focus on that. And I think one thing I, you know, that has come out of this book and being able to talk about is that in my own life, in my own beyond, it has like, you know, it teaches us something about our interior life. And so I think for me growing up, probably wasn't said, but I internalized that like I should receive all good things. Like I, you know, there was going to be no suffering. And so when life wasn't looking the way that I had anticipated or expected it to, I, you know, was throwing like, you know, I was a college student out of college, 25 years old, throwing like a tantrum of my life. It isn't looking like the way that I thought that it would look like right now. And through the seasons and through learning, like my favorite one, which ultimately is kind of what our mission has become at Be a Heart, of Easter is not really only a one-time event, but it is the archetype of what is happening in our life. And there are things that die. There's time for death. And then from the death is the resurrection. And so what does that look like in my actual life experience that I just don't think I learned? Like that wasn't taught to me that way. And so when you can see like, oh yeah, there's this time where there's no flowers and it's hard and it's maybe like a little bit sad and we're making space, it's not hard just for the sake of being hard, but it's to make space to encounter God more fully. So what does it look like when things are hard in my personal life? And okay, where can I make space to encounter God more? And the death is not forever. It's not like a never ending. There will be resurrection in my life too. And how can I hold hope just as I hold hope for Easter? And so we have that opportunity through all of the seasons. Like even, you know, you don't know, you're like, okay, I know Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, and we're going to eat all the things before we go into Lent. And then we're just going to suffer through Lent. It was like, well, no, it was like a huge party and you're going to use up all of your old, all the stuff that's like in your house to make room. And you're, and it is to then have the juxtaposition and like, it is built in to the church and to recognize that in all of the church's failures, we know them, we know so many of them. There is also this blueprint from ages and ages that is there for us to like learn from and lean on. As a mother, like that's what I want to pass on to my kids.
And then for that to just be so beautifully reflected, like, yeah, like you said, like within our home, and then for that, for them to be able to walk into the church, like during Holy Week and see those purple covering up all the statues, and for that to be a connection of like, this isn't just happening here. This is happening, like, this isn't just like a Sunday thing. This is my whole life. My whole life has this rhythm that I enter into. And that is just a totally different experience than seeing something for an hour on Sunday.
An hour. The, you know, religious ed class that you right. never really wanted to go to, and you're learning out of a book, and that like, oh, God is actually in our homes. And I think this idea that we have seen on the internet become more commonplace, but the idea of the domestic monastery, that our homes are really the extension of the church, and really where our kids are going to learn these things, but also where we learn them, you know, is like, forget just raising kids, but like who we are is far beyond just like the church walls, or in has to be integrated into every piece of our lives. And you can't have that compartmentalized, you know? And so this is like a really small way to be able to, maybe big, maybe it's a huge way. Maybe it's the way, I don't know, of really melding the two.
Erica, where can listeners pick up a copy of this new book, Living the Seasons, Simple Ways to Celebrate the Beauty of Your Faith Throughout the Year? And where can they connect with you and Be a Heart once this episode is done and keep that conversation going?
The book is available on our website, beaheart.com. It's also available at Ave Maria Press, depending where people like to get their books. I'm online at Be a Heart Design is our Instagram handle, but then also I am also on my own Instagram at Erica Ty Campbell, where I tend to share like the madness of mothering and running a business. And like, there's two sides of that. I really try to share from the book, just like little snippets on Instagram as well, because, we all forget like what day it is. And also they move like, yeah, it's like, can't keep up. I just looked this month, we have Pentecost, or in May. So you've got like, it's Mary's month. That's huge. That's exciting. And then we have Mother's Day and Ascension, and then Fatima, and then Pentecost, Trinity Sunday. It went so crazy. I was like, oh my gosh, I have a lot of things to,
all the parties, a lot of
content to prepare here. But it's a big month. As a reminder, you don't have to do all the things for all of them. Like Pentecost is a big one. So in Mary's month, you've got the whole month. So like, do something for Mary. It makes it a really good month.
Yes. Yes. May is lovely. So many things to celebrate. Birthday of the church. And we talk about birthday of birthdays.
Yeah. Right. And I think it's like Mary, Mother of God. That's the Monday after.
Yes, that's right.
Pentecost, which is a new.
Yeah. We're only a couple years into that feast. Yes. Erica, I've got one last question for you to close out our episode. In this season, we're exploring motherhood. This is Letters to Mothers. I would love to hear about how you live out the feminine genius in your daily life, your ordinary daily life as a mother.
Yeah, I think so much of who we are as women that is so important, that, you know, there is the comfort that we can offer our children, that I notice, you know, we've come so far as well, like in what fathers offer their children. And like, my husband is a therapist, so sometimes he's better at like that co-regulation situation. But noticing that my children will always tend to me for the comfort, and recognizing too that like, when I also want my mom for comfort. And what is my relationship with Mary is that she offers me comfort. And so really leaning into that, like, how can I go beyond myself to offer that comfort for my children, which looks like today, this morning, you know, the house is a mess. So I was cleaning and I'm, you know, very pregnant. So I'm sweating and I was just trying to get things done. And my four-year-old said, Mom, I need some cuddles. And so my job is to put everything down and to cuddle her for as long as she could possibly need. And nothing else was important in that moment. And being able to, feminine genius, you know, is like being aware of those things. And maybe it is the comfort of a friend or the comfort of my husband or whatever it is. Like, how can I first and foremost, like, be a place of comfort?
I love that, go out of myself to provide that place of comfort too. Because sometimes, at least for me as a mom, it's like, I just want to clean. I just need this room clean.
I'm sweating. I want to sit here and like have you cuddling me. You know, and granted, I'll take a cuddle. I will take those. But, you know, like, you have to be able to put that down. And I think so much, I know we're at the very end, but online the last couple of months talking about Father Ron Rollheiser's book, The Domestic Monastery, and these bells that like motherhood is, that, you know, monks, they hear the bells and they have to like drop what they're doing and go pray. And for us, it's like, you hear the bell of my child saying, I need some cuddles. And it's the dropping of that, like, right then. So that's a good book too. He was our priest in San Antonio, which is when I first encountered his wisdom, and is really beautiful as a read of like how we can live that out as mothers.
Erica, thanks for coming on the show today. Thanks for your lovely work. And it's just been lovely to sit and chat with you on a Saturday afternoon. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Letters to Women. Check out the show notes for my conversation with Erica online on my website, letterstowomenpodcast.com, or just scroll down in your podcast player to get your own copy of Living the Seasons and connect with Erica and be a heart online. Something I'm doing this season is including discussion questions in the show notes for you to explore in your own journaling and prayer time or in good conversation with other women. I think that we learn the most about how to live out this feminine genius when we're having conversations with other women. And I know many of you use these episodes for conversation topics for your small group, so I'm excited to support you in that way. There's also a link to sign up for my monthly newsletter, Naptime Notes. So once a month, I share about the books that I'm reading to myself and to my kids, some braggable thrift store finds, what's growing in our front yard garden, the podcasts and playlists that I'm listening to. Naptime Notes will always be free. But when you subscribe at $5 a month, you get early and ad-free access to all the Letters to Women podcast episodes, days, sometimes weeks before they go live here in the public podcast feed. Make sure to subscribe to the Letters to Women podcast wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss a new episode. If you are new here, every other week there is a new episode about the feminine genius, what that looks like in a variety of seasons with different women. Right now I'm breaking this down into seasons. So right now we're in the Letters to Mother season. You can explore the past episodes about what it means to be a mother, what it means to be a woman. And we're following along with Letters to Women, the original letter to women from John Paul II's 1995 letter, where he thanks women in this beautiful litany of thanks, women who are mothers, wives, daughters, consecrated women. So each season we're entering into explores those different identities that we have as women. So we're close to wrapping up this Letters to Mothers season. There'll be a short break and then we'll dive back in with a Letters to Wives season where we explore what it means to be a wife, what it means to live the vocation of marriage. Make sure you subscribe so that you get a notification when there are new episodes. If you know women in your life who would love these conversations in the archive, this conversation with Erica, please send those episodes their way and tell them about what's coming up on the show. If you listen to the podcast and you loved the conversation today, if you love the guests of the show, please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. You can always send your thoughts and comments my way via email at letterstowomen@gmail.com. That's all I have for today's episode. Letters to Women will be back in your podcast feed in a few weeks for the very last podcast episode of this season, Letters to Mothers. I'm so excited to share that conversation with you. Until next time, be not afraid.